Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Yippee! Good morning, everybody. I'm Mark Lawrence, strikingly handsome host of the program. Across from me is Joe McGranahan. He's the mayor of Shamokin Dam and does a bunch of other stuff that's not worth much. And let's see, over on the other side of the glass, it's our producer, Rob Center. Rob's father, Dixie, wonderful guy, big Eagles fan. And in the newsroom, somebody's clacking away. Does that cover it all? Oh, and we're brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company.
Family-owned dealership.
Family-owned since 1915. 4th Street in Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They invite you to find out more about them at www.sunburymotors.com.
See, that's wrong. You don't have to say the W's anymore. Nobody says that. You just say sunburymotors.com.
I use the www because it's part of the address.
Is it? And they
read
are...
Read the script. It's right on the script. www.
Probably at 931 West 4th Street or something.
Susquehanna Trail.
Mm, so that's on 11 and 15,
right.
Yes.
Okay, North 4th Street.
Yeah, what number on Susquehanna Trail, though?
I don't know.
Egghead?
I don't know.
You don't know the exact address?
Why would I know that? I know where to find them. I know where they are. If I wanted to go there to the Kia dealership, I know exactly where it is.
Do you know any exact addresses on 11 and 15? Boy, you are slipping. Holy
do
smokes.
You?
On... No.
Okay.
But
well,
I'm not an egghead.
You're slipping, too.
Well, I've long since slept.
You slept.
Yeah, I'm long gone. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Joe was declining, but he's back this week, so I'm an easy mark once again. On the Mark's toll-free line is now open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. If you'd like to, you could join one individual who's already sent us a note so we can read that on the radio. Or you can text us at 70236, the kind of things we've been talking about lately. Yesterday we had a conversation about Iran and our striking of an individual who was visiting Iraq, and that particular airstrike has been a superlative achievement for the president or the start of World War III, depending upon whom you listen to. So we can talk more about that. We also talked about the Golden
Excuse
Globes.
Me, but the sky is falling.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, Joe's a snowflake today, so he's channeling his inner snowflake.
No, I'm just telling you that's what the liberals are saying. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Well, we'll see. Well, did you see the one funeral for this fellow Tehran?
Tragic.
Well, yeah, that
stampede.
Was
stampede. What, 35 people or so killed?
35 killed in
a I wonder,
stampede.
They don't say what triggered the stampede.
I don't know. At a funeral, what could set them off? Maybe there was a fear.
Well,
of
they
a
have a tendency
threat.
Over there to fire guns into the air.
Mm.
Possibly it could have been
over
something
there.
Like that. Well, they do. I mean, how many
there.
Times have you seen...
All them short people with dark hair firing guns.
Well, how do you want me to say it? In the Middle East, there is a tendency to fire weapons into the air. How many times have you seen that? It's not like I'm making up something.
And in West
Virginia. That,
you don't mention those people.
Right. Well, they're not out stampeding.
Mm. You used to hear a lot more gunshots around here at midnight at New Year's Eve. You don't hear that anymore.
Well, I would hope people aren't firing guns around here in the middle of the night.
Well, out in the country, you can.
Well, you go out in the country and you do it, but stay away from Shamokin Dam and my house.
And you don't want the bullets falling on Shamokin
no.
Dam either. All right, so email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. I haven't elaborated on it lately, but that's the Text Connect system where we're notifying thousands of individuals about the possibility that there's breaking news that could impact their lives, whether it's breaking national news or local news or weather warnings. Now, we don't do weather watches, generally speaking. speaking, but, well, I guess we would do a tornado watch if something like that popped up. We could use the Text Connect for that, but it's primarily used for weather warnings that are issued by the National Weather Service, so we pass those along. Breaking national news, dead celebrities, breaking local news, closed major roads around here. That's what we use the Text Connect system for. You can sign up for it at WKOK.com. You do need to provide your cell phone number, and then we'll send you a text a couple of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 times a month that would have important information that could affect your life. It's a quick message that says for, you know, route, 252 is closed. I picked one that's down in the Philadelphia area so that people wouldn't get confused, but it would say that 252 is closed, and then the link to find out where the closure is and what's happening. It's by the Aronimink.
All the
Gulf
people
course.
Headed toward Philadelphia are now concerned.
Oh, no. I made that up. That was a joke. So that's what Tech Connect is for. You can sign up at WKOK.com. Go there, and there's up at the top. You just can't miss it. It says Connect with Us. You can sign up for emails and text messages and Twitter and Facebook. We do invite you to follow us on Facebook. Everything we do on the radio goes on Facebook as well. So those are the ways to connect with us. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number.
Do we accept smoke signals, too?
Well, if we could see them.
Okay. We don't have a window.
Yeah, the only smoke we usually get around here is from the toaster oven in the lunchroom.
When somebody forgets they put something in it, right?
One of the days that thing's going to really flame on. I've gone in there and it's...
That was one of those fragrance things, those tarts called burnt bagel.
No, it's just the way the toaster oven works around here.
Well, our friend Tom's taking us to task already this
what?
Morning. Yes, yes.
Not
he says,
me.
You too. He says, on a show last week on the economy, poverty was discussed. Joe and Mark trivialized that it was only 12%. As of 12/31/19, the population of the U.S. is 330,074,365. 12% of that is 39,608,921. Almost 40 million living in poverty today.
Wow, that is a big number.
A very serious problem for the richest country in the world. 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, some by their own doing, but the majority not so. Many millions working 2 and 3 jobs just to survive. 45% have no retirement, which is a huge problem and is only going to get worse. Many millions on SNAP, Section 8 housing, and medical assistance. Good economy? I don't think so. We don't need billionaires who have 80% of the money and leave the rest of us to fight over the remaining 20%. Let the excuses and fog roll in. Trump 2020. I don't think so.
So what should we do, Tom? I think that's a natural follow-up question is what should we do? We do have almost 40
million
people.
Well, we do the Robin Hood thing. We steal from the rich and give to the poor.
To a certain extent, but that doesn't actually change that percentage. That only subsidizes the individuals that are in the 12%. What can we do about the 12%? I mean, there are community efforts around here to occasionally talk about this.
Tom makes it sound like he says some by their own doing, but the majority not so. That would imply that some of the people there would like to get out of poverty if they could. And don't we have all these training programs? Don't we have all these things that the Democrats have put in place over the years? Some very good programs, by the way, to help people get back on their feet. Where is all this help that we're paying billions of dollars for?
There's no argument there that, if an individual thinks like you or I, they think, oh my gosh, guess what? I'm in the bottom 12%. I got to pull myself up by the bootstraps. You know, I got to do what Joe did, rise up from poverty and become superlatively rich like he is today. A lot of people can't do that. They don't have that. They don't have that mindset. They don't have that mentor. They don't have anybody.
So what do we do for them? Do we owe them something? Do we owe them something?
We owe it to children to make sure that kids don't see nothing but a cycle.
That the children get a chance. I agree with you there, that the children get a chance to break out of that cycle. But what do we owe the people, the adults? Do we owe them anything?
I don't know. Who was it that said, there will be poor always?
It was Jesus.
Oh, okay. And we'll quote something. No,
no
really,
I believe he was a Republican.
Really?
I'm just saying that to get your goat.
Well, I guarantee he was pro-life.
He would have found fault. Yes, he's definitely pro-life.
So...
But I look at this, I think Tom does have one point. There have been a number of stories about income inequality, that the rich are getting richer and the rest of us are fighting over a smaller piece of the pie. So probably something does have to be done not just to make sure the rich pay their fair share, but to make sure that the loopholes are closed. I would start doing that. The fact that some of these big companies can get away without paying any tax.
Well, you get this every time you get like a Tom Steyer or Andrew Yang talking about this. They say that, you know, they're not paying sufficient. They agree that they're not paying
But nothing paying says they taxes. Can't write a check out to the government as a donation.
To volunteer the money.
Right. If they feel they haven't been billed enough, they're allowed to contribute.
I would bet they say they do contribute over and above what they might think they ought to owe in taxes to other causes, not to the U.S. government.
See, I'd like to see a formula developed. We have so many algorithms today. I'd like to see an algorithm developed that takes into consideration not only the amount of money a rich person has, but the number of jobs they create, the number of people they employ, the rate at which they employ them. Are they good jobs? Are they menial jobs? You know, do they pay substantially above minimum wage?
Well, they can be menial and pay well.
Okay,
or they can be menial and pay nothing.
We have an algorithm that weighs all this and then determines their tax rate. Because the people who are parasites are the ones I want to tax. The ones who just, you know, play every loophole in the tax system, collect as much money as they can, and don't have any civic responsibility, don't return anything to the community or to society for that
matter.
What
about a flat tax?
I don't think that'll work.
Hmm.
And that's unfair to poorer people. I think it has to be graduated. There has to be something that takes into consideration your ability to pay.
Well, what if you don't have to pay any taxes until you're in $20,000 or more and then start a flat tax?
That might work. I don't know.
And you could graduate it. If you earn $20,000, it's 1%. $30,000, it's 2%. $40,000, it's 4%. And then it goes up to like 6% and then stops.
Well, but the thing is, if you took every cent that the rich people have, you still wouldn't fund this government for very long.
Well, that's another topic.
I think
we have a spending problem.
We have to get serious about cutting back on our spending. And that means cutting back on some programs we like and some maybe we don't like. Everybody always wants to cut the other guy's program, but sometimes we're going to have to take a look at ourselves. You know, and I like these ideas of, like, taking a flat rate. Say everybody should reduce their budget by 2% or 3% in the government. Certainly you can do that. You know, because we've all heard stories of people get to the end of the year, they have money left over in their budget. They rush out and spend it because they don't want to have a surplus, which would lead to them getting less money next year.
I saw that recently. I visited a Staples, and there was a group of office holders from a fine local government entity buying dozens and dozens of new office chairs and desks because they had money left over in their taxpayer-funded budget, so they had to get rid of it. You couldn't return it to the taxpayers.
Why not?
1-800-795, because that's not how it works.
No, I know.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Dale, what is bugging you today? Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just was watching Tucker Carlson last night, and he pretty much summed it up on the class warfare. He showed an example of how San Francisco is working. And, well, our government tends to... Our government tends to categorize, you know, people. So the whole thing is there's three different categories. There's the recipient people class, there's the subsidized class, and there's the working class. Okay, so there's going to be put on restraint. The subsidized class is basically government. Government's going to put restraint on the recipient class to get more money. They're going to put more stress on the working class to get more money. So I think the parasites Joe was talking about is the subsidized class, which is, you know, basically people who are put in the job program, which I call government, because it's getting unsustainable. So I just like to say, you know, when they go reassess all this, why don't we, you know, get a pen and paper, write this down, and we make this fair. Put the recipient class, subsidized class, and the working class, okay? And then we try to figure it out, you know, that way. I mean, that's the only way to go because, I mean, you can say, you know, they try to get your job occupation and all of that, but that's just beating around the bush. I think the subsidized class, which is government, right now the federal government is attacking the recipient class and the local governments are attacking the working class.
Right. We have examples around here, Dale, of people that you would call, what was it, the subsidized class?
Yeah, like the one I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, right. But let's take, for example,
that's drug dealers.
Let's take for the late, great Charlie Degenstein. Here was a man who had a lot of money in his career. He worked hard to amass it, but he had a tremendous sense of civic responsibility. And even long after his death, he's left a legacy of help and community support through his foundations that will probably endure for years to come. Now, that's the kind of guy you're glad to see with a lot of money because he has a sense of civic responsibility.
He said
and he
giving
returns
was
it.
Fun.
And it, well, if you knew Charlie, and I was blessed to know him, he was that kind of a guy. You know, so that's the kind of person I think we
this
need
is
more
the
of.
This world we're living in. And government, when you give, job programs, which I call government jobs, they are selfish and they lose contact in a real world where people really, recipients really do need that money and they're not able to work. So why will we attack them? Federal government right now is attacking them. Local governments are attacking the working class, okay? And their budgets are getting bigger. So more job programs mean more revenue needed. And so who are you asking for? You're asking for the working class and you're stealing from the recipients who really need it, Joe. So like I said, there's three categories there. You can't beat around the bush. We need to really tackle that, and if you know any elected officials, you put those three categories in their face, and you talk about, you know, responsibility and integrity to, you know, do their jobs, because the federal government workers are understanding that they have subsidized jobs, because basically they're playing on their phone, they don't clock in or nothing like that. There's no responsibility. So, I mean, beating around the bush, we could talk about example after example, but I mean, when push comes to shove, we need to start attacking subsidized workers.
All right.
Basically.
All right. Let's get out the weapons and start attacking.
Bush, Joe. I know you like your subsidized job.
That's right. I love subsidization.
You're probably a recipient, too. Some people can put themselves in two, working class, recipient class, subsidized worker. I mean, you can put yourself in two categories.
I'm in three categories.
Yeah, I'm a third of each.
I put money away in my retirement, and all I see is the subsidized class getting bigger, and my retirement going smaller because they're like taking money out of my retirement to feed their appetite. Subsidized class appetite is getting too large, so that's all I have to say.
Jeez. The Bar Association in here somewhere?
Well, Joe, this guy who controls everything, you know.
The Bar Association.
Like I told you, what
we got you on that one.
Definition of cult. Look up the definition of what a cult is.
There you go.
The Bar Association is a cult. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Now we know. Thanks, Dale.
I got you.
All right.
Hard to top that.
It is hard to top that.
We'll take a break. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. If you are a member of the subsidized class, we have a different number for you. It's 1-800-795-9565. If you are a subsidizer, call 1-800-795-9565.
What if I'm a recipient? Who do I call?
That's still another number. Okay. 1-800-795-9565.
They all sound
when it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley.
We know the value of community and technical colleges and the value they bring to rural communities across the nation, and our goal is to help these colleges be successful in every way. What we're trying to do here with the Education Project is really bring you a full-service campus here. Community colleges do a lot of things, but one of the most important things they do is they're the catalyst for economic development.
WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Yes, we'll do the text, and we have a call coming in and one on hold, but we'll read the text. It says, Mark, Really, Soleimani was just visiting Iraq? He was a tourist now? No, Mark. He was a murderous terrorist, designated as such by the Obama administration. But Obama didn't take him out when he had the chance, because the Obama appeasement deal with Iran was in the works. So there.
Yeah, President Obama had the opportunity and didn't. Same with George H.W. Bush had the opportunity and declined to kill him when they had the chance. So, I think there's advantages and disadvantages to assassinating him. I argue that the repercussions are significant. But I'm not, as I tried to make clear yesterday, maybe I didn't, I'm not second-guessing the president. I mean, he had all the intelligence that he knew. let me rephrase that. He had a lot of information from our U.S. intelligence.
You don't want
agencies.
To use the word intelligence and President Trump at the same sentence?
Well, obviously he's not a dolt, but he clearly has a dilemma of some kind, a behavioral dilemma. So, anyway, he obviously had all that information. They knew where he was. It was a pretty surgical strike to only hit one vehicle like that. So I think that's certainly noteworthy. And if he had definitive plans, if what the president has said is true in this particular case, he had definitive plans, which the president's credibility is, you know, about 1% or something. But if this particular sentence was true and you save lives, well, then that is a justified strike, in my opinion. But it is, these are like dominoes. You know, the dominoes have been falling long before President Trump, and they'll continue to fall long after he's finished. So, I don't know. I hope that clarifies my view on this. I'm not a violence person. So that's all. I would never.
Yet
think,
you own firearms.
If you're a deer, baby, too bad for you.
Then you are a violent person.
One deer
against
a year.
Animals.
Actually, one deer every other year.
So you're violent against animals.
Well, that's different.
People for the ethical treatment thereof will want to have a word with you for sure.
Joe.
And Joe from Sunbury, you're on the mark.
Good morning, man. I'd like to have a follow-up from yesterday late in the show. You had a caller who asked about, I'm not going to get this perfectly right, of course, and this isn't the best venue for a discussion, but I think he meant that pro-life people didn't talk about children that are abused, say at 6 months, a year, or 2 years, however old they are. Do you recall that?
Not exactly in those terms, no, and Mark doesn't either.
Yeah. I think it was Dick had called late in the show.
Well, here's the rub. If anybody's using poverty or child abuse,
people being or children being abused in the area, that it makes the news, and you know that people don't think about or they don't talk about those children.
So the remark is that it would be better off if they had been aborted rather than abused?
He didn't say that. No, that's why I said this isn't going to be, you know, it's not a good, because he's not even on the phone or anything. So,
oh, he's
but
listening.
I would like
he's
to
next.
Say, if that is, and that's what I got from that, because I called in earlier and said about my part on abortion and that. But so just to go from there, I'll try to make my point clear that we have thought about those people or those children that have been abused, and that's the laws that we have. Generations have thought about that, and that's the laws we have in place today, such as Mark says that he understands how a woman can have an abortion because it's legal. Well, people can have babies, and later on, you know, they abuse them, unfortunately, but we do have laws, and I will say that generations have thought about that, and even the biblical Old Testament has a part in about, you know, if two men struggle and they injure a woman with a baby, and, you know, you can read that and take whatever you want from it, but it's been addressed for, you know, ever, or I'll say it that way. Okay. And I just want to, that not that we don't think about those children or, you know, but I do want to say that that's not exactly what we want now. In the old, well, let's just say before Roe v. Wade, there was some kind of, I'll say, justice for abortion, because we looked at that as life, and those generations before Roe v. Wade thought that there should be some kind of justice for that taking of that life. That is life, without a doubt, and however you categorize it. I know they put it into like a category as a fetus or undeveloped life or something other than a human, and that's how you can do such things, you know, is abort that. But it's the laws, and I don't know that if the idea was that what you had alluded to earlier, that an abortion saves a child. I've heard somebody say this to me personally, that they think abortion saves a child from abuse, but the laws that we had looked at, and we have punishment for people who do that, and on the other side, we had eugenics, you know, and we decided that there's nothing, you know, that we don't want no part of that, dictating to people that they can or they can't have children.
I don't think we want to kill people to save them.
Eugenics, Joe, we're in a whole, you know, that, well, you can't have that baby because you are going to abuse that baby in the future. Well, we knew that we can't predict such things.
Joe, we don't want to kill people to save them. That's not a very good idea. I mean, I don't think that's going to fly.
That's what I think I've actually had a person tell me that is part of their idea or their reasoning behind abortion, and I was kind of dumbfounded because we have no idea what will come of that child.
Hey, listen, we got about two minutes left, Joe.
A newborn, and you don't know 6 months if you know they're.
All right, we got you.
Joe. I'm sorry, Joe.
We
got
no
about.
No idea, but we do.
I'm sorry. We've got 2 minutes left in the program. Another caller. We're 2 minutes left in this segment. Lance, you're on the mark.
I'll need my full thing. How about I call back later?
Okay. Well, you can chit-chat a little bit now.
You got a minute. We just cut somebody off to give you a minute.
Well, I've had people already tell me that we have come to the point here with some pro-life cases where you can just have the baby and we take care of it from there on time, right? Mm-hmm. And what he said was that, well, some of those homes you have aren't the best. And what it shucks down to is they don't want it going to a Christian home. I've got a good article about it, and it's pretty amazing. So I'll be back about my other stuff.
Okay.
Yes, we got to talk about taxes and...
And we had so many other topics we wanted to get to today, and maybe we will get to them.
You are listening to WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be back. We'll have CBS News. We'll check some local headlines. We are talking about the U.S. airstrike in Iran, and we'll talk about in Iraq, actually. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. He was just sworn at last night at a borough council meeting. And
somebody swore at me.
You were doing the swearing.
I swore some people in, yes.
Right, okay. So that happened last night.
I don't get to swear at council very often, and they're nice guys, so I never do.
Are there any women on council?
No, not at the moment. Hmm. Well, we have had women in the past.
Yeah, you need more women.
Matter of fact,
leadership.
We had a woman council president for a number of years.
You need more women.
The great Dolly Hughes did a wonderful job.
1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free number. Call us immediately if you have an opinion about the airstrike in Iraq or peace or how you make peace by being super-duper strong. We've heard that. I mentioned that President H.W. Bush had an opportunity to take out Mr. Soleimani and did not. And one of our good listeners pointed out that President Obama had the same opportunity and declined to do so. So we can talk about that. Of course, some of our listeners keep talking about abortion, so it is an open day. So let's pick a topic and stick with it. But it's really
we never did get to the United Methodists yet, and we didn't get to the left's insane reaction to Ricky Gervais.
Well, we'll get to that. That's
all
coming
right.
up shortly.
Is that a promise?
But let's do news headlines.
There's a plan.
In courthouses and town halls Monday, swearing-in ceremonies were held to usher in new boards of commissioners, council members, and row officers. In Sunbury, Sam Shikitano, Joe Claiborne, and Kimberly Best were sworn in. Snyder County's Peggy Chamberlain Roop is finished with her historic run as the only woman commissioner there ever. Chuck Steininger, Joe Kantz, and Adam Ewig took their oath of office. In Union County, Preston Boop, Stacy Richards, and Jeff Reber are your new commissioners. In Sunbury, council members Jim Eister and Josh Bros are sworn in yesterday. The new city controllers, Dan Saxton, and the fire chiefs are Brad Wirtz, the main chief, and the assistant, Ron Rupp, and Malcolm Stevens. In Northumberland, Ann Boyer, Denise Gilbolt, Ellie Reese, Caitlin Simmons, Paul Ruan, Orlando Toro, and Frank Wetzel make up your borough council. They were sworn in by the mayor, Daniel Berard. One of the Republican state lawmakers.
You don't have Shamokin Dam in that story.
Yeah, tell who was new last night.
Well, with three reelected councilmen were Dave Sowers, Andy Bickhart, and Don Musser were sworn in again.
Okay.
Joe Hughes was sworn in as a member of the, what do you call it, the Civil Service Commission.
Okay.
And Don Musser was elected council vice president again, and Andy Bickhart vice president again.
All right. And I think Sealands Grove had swear. Well, I guess everybody had it.
Everybody did. Yeah, all boroughs do on the first Monday in
January. So Councilman Meese and Kalsich is his last name. I remember from the election, Kalsich. I don't know the young man or young woman, I'm sorry to say.
Well, she works here.
Kalsich on borough council?
No. In Sealands Grove, the young lady who is on borough council works here. Now, you think about who that is.
Oh, okay. Super. And she was sworn in last night?
I don't know. But okay. You were seen to be having trouble reaching names.
Okay.
There's Mr. Vickers on borough council down there. The president of borough council had been, and I assume it still might be, Marvin Rudnitsky.
Okay.
And let's see, who would that woman be that works here that's on borough council in Sealands Grove?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Sarah Lover? You ever hear of her?
Oh, she doesn't work. Well, she's a part-timer in the newsroom.
I've heard her on the air on Sunday morning.
She wasn't sworn in last night, sorry.
Well, I don't know who was sworn in. I'm just telling you who was a member of council there.
So your quiz is faulty. You don't even know the answer.
Well, you can look at it that way if you choose to.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joe McGranahan, and he's slipping. One of the Republican state lawmakers in the Valley does not favor raising the minimum wage, nor does he favor removing the cap on overtime that the governor's interested in doing. David Rowe was on WKOK's On the Mark last week. He also said he does support the judicial district election reform.
The intent is to reform the judiciary by breaking the Supreme Court into seven districts instead of just seven at-large seats.
All right. He was on the Mark last week. Rare opportunity for a 90-minute interview last week, but we had 1,000 questions for him Friday.
Oh, I was going to say I wasn't here.
Yeah, as soon as you left, he said he'd be willing to come in.
He'd be willing to come in. Okay. Well, that's all right. There are others who won't come in when you're here.
Yeah, there are all the other Republicans around here who won't come in if I'm here. All right, let's move on here before I open my mouth and insert foot again. Let's see. It is true. Pennsylvania State Police say they are investigating what troopers say is a deliberate attempt to release bed bugs at a Walmart store in western Pennsylvania. I didn't believe this. My lovely bride told me over the weekend. I said, no, that is a rumor. But turns out, state police spokesman said Monday that troopers have made no arrests and do not have any suspects yet, but there's tons of video to look at. A manager from the Walmart store in Edinburgh said that employees found pill bottles with bugs in them. They say a hygiene services contractor contacted Walmart, contracted by Walmart, found bugs crawling around in the men's fitting room and identified them as bed bugs. Troopers were testing for fingerprints on the bottle while store officials were reviewing miles and miles of surveillance video at the Walmart store in western Pennsylvania. So it was true.
So if you go to Walmart and leave itching, you need to get checked.
Oh, geez. You're making me itch just talking about it. And finally, the NFL wild card playoff games weren't just popular at my house. They were the most watched opening weekend of football in 4 years. The four games averaged 30 million viewers each, which was a 7% increase over last season. Seattle's 17-9 victory over Philadelphia on NBC was the final game of the weekend and drew the most viewers. It averaged 35.8 million viewers, according to Nielsen and Adobe Analytics. Or, I'm sorry, it's Abode Analytics. That makes its television most watched show since last year's Super Bowl. Tennessee's 20-13 victory over New England on CBS CBS averaged 31.42 million viewers. Minnesota's 26-20 win in overtime at New Orleans on Fox averaged 30.79 million, while Houston's 22-19 overtime win over Buffalo on ABC and ESPN averaged 25.41 million viewers.
And an average hit television show will get maybe, if it's lucky, 10 million.
Those are superlative numbers. Well, and all of those outcomes are fine with me, except for the Philadelphia one. That's the one that still stings.
Yes.
Especially since
it was a bad hit that took out the quarterback.
Well, and they needed to extend it the game, make it longer so that Philadelphia could have more time to come back. They were doing pretty well.
Well, if you do that, then you've got to give them more time at Foxborough to recover from their loss.
Where the Titans played that time game. That would be a very bad situation.
Yes, you don't want to do that.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com. Text us at 70236. So far, we have talked about abortion, taxes in the U.S. I suggest we go with a flat tax. We start at 20 grand, and it's, let's say, 2% for everybody. That's it. I think that would cover all of our expenses, and we got to reduce the size of government. Let's get this convention of states going. We've also talked about the airstrike that took place in Iran that took out an Iraqi terrorist, I guess, by
a general.
By nearly every measure, an international terrorist. And those would be our two topics, correct? Plus, we had Dale call in the Bar Association.
Well, we have other things to get on to here.
He's dragging us down to the bottom of the ocean. Dale, you are on the mark.
No, it's Lance.
Oh, Lance, I'm sorry. I'm just introduced.
He wants his two more minutes.
Well, he's entitled to it, plus more. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, about the taxes, you know, God's tax is a flat tax, is it not? I mean, that was what was put forth in the Bible.
What, 10%?
Yeah, that's the reason why our Quaker forebears said that every tax here had to affect everybody equally, and we could not have a regressive income tax. That's one of the reasons here. But when I had the caller that was talking about how the top 20% had more than the bottom 80%, or was he just talking billionaires? What he was?
Don't know.
Well, anyway, if he was talking billionaires, if you took all the money the billionaires have, and it'd be tough to do that because a lot of the money is invested in somebody's job, but if you could do that, that would give everybody $11,000 apiece. That's it. And that's roughly the amount of money our federal government spends on each one of us every single year.
That's crazy.
And it is. So when these folks are trying to fund things with billionaires' money and incomes that they say are there, but they're not. If you take everybody that has an income over $200,000, that is about between 2.7 and 2.8 trillions. Okay? Now that, that runs the government till right before Labor Day. So they're trying to, we have a person that's really big on taxes who's running for the Democratic nomination. And if you add it all up in certain areas, if you add the taxes these folks are already paying locally, it comes to more than 100% Liz Warren stuff. Read an article on that. It's pretty amazing. So they really don't know what they're doing when they're levying these taxes. Besides, corporations don't pay taxes anyway. They never did, never will. The only person ever paid the tax was the person that bought the product. You can't argue that, can you? And when you say that today the corporation didn't pay tax, well, I have stock in a corporation, and I got money, and that money is taxed, and I'm going to pay it. So how can you say the corporation never paid the tax when their shareholders paid it? That's just my idea.
So, but everybody eventually pays a tax. Everybody who consumes, even the wealthy people who maybe avoid taxes, pay a tax if they buy something, and there's a sales tax levied. There's no way to escape that. All I'm saying is close the loopholes. Don't let them get away with. Don't let anybody get away without paying something.
Yeah, well, I agree. That's what God had in mind.
Well, and that's why we have real estate taxes, so that if you're not paying any income tax, at least when you annually have to pay your real estate taxes, and why we have occupational taxes. So if you have some occupation, then you pay some of those, and why we have
per capita taxes.
Right, per capita, thank you. So we have all kinds of taxes.
Just like everybody else, we have now paid as much tax on the property as what we paid for it.
Well, you know what they say, the eyes of taxes are upon you.
You got it, yeah. That's pretty good.
All right, thank you so much, Lance.
Take care.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Back on the topic of Iraq.
One of our emailers says, I agree with one of your callers that said we shouldn't be over there in Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia. I agree. Because those little skirmishes over there, they calm down, then they flare up. But what I do believe is force is the only way to show we mean what we say. I agree with no troops there, but if our intelligence tells us they're doing something, then we just drone them with bombs, like we did with this last strike. We don't need to be there physically. They threw us out. Let's bomb our airfield before we leave and wipe our feet as we go. As your caller said, they don't want to live like us. I wish that would sink in. As my father used to tell me, we will fight our future wars in the air. We have the capabilities to do it, so let's change strategical warfare.
Get out of the Middle East.
And this is a supporter of President Obama's missiles.
Oh, drone strikes.
Drone strikes, right.
Surgical drone strikes. He loved fewer that. Boots on the ground.
And it's funny because Nancy Pelosi did not want to curb his powers. You know, there was no move among the Democrats to curb
no
his
resolution.
Powers.
Well, probably because
when he exceeded
it saves Bush's, American lives. If you don't have boots on the ground, you don't lose troops in that
right.
manner.
And that's exactly what President Trump did. He took out a bad guy with a drone.
But didn't he just send 30,000 boots there?
He sent more troops over. No, I think it was 11,000. That would be 22,000 boots.
Oh, your unwavering faith in him is just crazy.
I don't have unwavering faith in him, but I think it's time that America stopped backing down. You know, we have the power. We've tended to be nice. This is a story about Abraham Lincoln. You could push him pretty far, you know, but when you riled him up, he would fight and he would win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we need to do in this country. You know,
so President Trump is a lot like Abraham Lincoln.
Well, he doesn't have a beard.
Okay, well, there's a big... Nobody has a comb over, so he has a superlative, well, noteworthy...
That was Abe's own hair. He didn't have a comb over.
Yeah, he has a noteworthy hair.
In any event, I think he's doing the right thing in terms of showing American strength. I like what Congressman
Lincoln
Keller
Trump.
Said. Trump.
Okay.
I like what Congressman Keller said, that President Trump is not afraid to show America has teeth.
All right. Well said.
And one of our texters says, good morning. Talking about all the promises Trump made and has not kept any, the middle class and lower income Americans suffer every day. We need to stop starting endless wars and keep our money here in the USA. Signed, Bob.
I think the president has probably kept some promises.
Well, he's pulled troops out of some area. You know, there was all this fuss mm-hmm. when he was pulling troops out of, where was it, Syria before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's awful, awful. We pulled troops out. You know, then he does this. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. He moves the embassy from Jerusalem into Jerusalem. That's awful. It's horrible. The world's going to erupt. It's going to be a holocaust.
Doesn't matter what he does. It's awful. I think it's about time you realize that, Joe.
Well, I fully realize
your unwavering
that.
Following of him.
No, I'm not unwavering following him. You know, I don't like the guy personally. I don't think he's a very decent human being. But I think as a president, he doesn't get a fair break, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
But
as you always say, it's McGranahan's worthless wisdom. You
never,
say it's Lawrence's worthless wisdom.
I have
wisdom.
Never said that.
I was just paraphrasing.
Okay,
you.
Thank you. But do not all presidents get hyper-scrutinized, or did not President Obama enjoy that?
I think he got a pass from the media, by and large,
okay.
You know, to be honest with you. His feet weren't held to the fire the way this guy's feet are held to the fire, or the way George Bush's feet were held to the fire. And George Bush, I think, deserved it. I think the jury's still out on President Trump. If you're talking policy, if you're talking human being, basic, nice guy, then I think his feet need to be held to the fire. We need to take his phone away from him and smack him in
take
the...
One of the pictures in Newsweek.com shows him. He's golfing. He's on the golf course, and he's leaning, like golfers do sometimes, on one club. Well, the club's on the ground. They kind of lean on it. But he's got the phone in the other hand, and I don't know what he's doing. You can see that his thumb is doing something.
He's probably texting.
He's probably tweeting. Yep. He's probably saying, oh, there goes that... Oh, Nancy Pelosi, there you go again.
Right. Then one of our emailers says, intelligence and the Trump administration? No such thing.
That occurred to me the moment I said it. Thank you. I realized that that's an oxymoron. All right, we got another email just came in.
And we got a call coming in. It says, Joe, I agree. No more leading from behind.
All right, there you have it. Well, let's take a quickie break. When we come back, we can wrap up this discussion about the U.S. involvement overseas in pulling troops out of all of the Middle East. If there's any way we could ever do that, that would be a wonderful idea. Call us now if you think that's a good idea. We're discussing both sides of the issue as it relates to the president's airstrike. But we can take any caller you wish to talk about. Oh, well, let's do this guy before we take the break, since he's probably a busy man. Chris, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, Mark and Joe, good morning. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you. And you.
So, Joe, did I just hear you say that you don't think that America should be backing down anymore? When have we ever, like, backed down? Do you realize that as a nation, we've been in more major wars than any civilized society in the history of the world? Like, do you know that?
I don't believe that's true. I can point to any number of countries that have been in more wars. France and England, for example, far more wars than we have.
Nope. Not true.
Ever hear of the Hundred Years' War? You need to read some history books.
Especially in the short amount of time that we've been in existence, it's, like, not even close. We have literally tried to implement our own agenda across the world. That's why people in the Middle East hate us. It's not like we were sitting at home and then they knocked on our door and they were like, hey, we hate you. That's not how that went. It's not how it ever went. Once we got the power, because we know as a society, as a country, we have the advantage of being across the ocean where they can't reach us. I seriously believe that if we were right next door to Iran, we would have a completely different take on this.
Why do you say that?
Well, if we were in harm's way, he means.
Because they can't reach us. We're almost like on the mountaintop, and we can't be touched. So of course we're gonna shoot arrows down from the top of the mountain. Not only do we have the strongest, but I mean we could literally stamp out Iran in 30 seconds. So why not just do that then? If we're not backing down, then why not just put our foot on their neck and just be done with it?
Okay, well, if you want to check a history book, you will find that France has fought the most wars. Probably England's pretty close behind, not the United
Isn't that
States.
Funny, you don't think of France as being hyper-militaristic today.
Well, I mean, back then, those days, they had multiple wars going all the time, you know, and they ran up the tally far beyond what we could run up.
Because we've only been around several hundred years. Like, think of the average. Every decade, almost, of my life, which is four of them now, we've been in some sort of major skirmish. No other country, like England hasn't, you know, like they helped out, but England hasn't declared war on anybody in God knows how long. When was the last time England declared war on somebody?
World War II.
When the ones pushing the buttons?
Don't know, the Falklands War, you remember that? England fought the Falklands War against, what was it, Argentina?
Okay, how long ago was that?
Oh, that was in the 80s, 70s or 80s?
Okay. 80s.
So that was 30, 40 years ago now.
Well, we haven't declared war on anybody. We haven't declared war on any... Chris, we haven't declared war on anybody in this country since World War II.
Oh, God.
Since World War II.
So the point is that we're always messing around with other people's stuff. Always. We're always nosing around in other people's business. And it's never, you know, we want to pretend it's for humanitarian reasons, or it's always for American interests, and it's not always for protecting American rights either.
Okay, somebody slaps us in the face. What do? Surrender immediately to avoid any conflict? Is that your goal?
Who slapped us in the face this time?
They did. They attacked our embassy. They attacked our embassy and threatened our people. We didn't attack their embassy. They attacked ours. We retaliated.
Right. I understand that. But we didn't retaliate. This wasn't a retaliation for some embassy strike. That's not what this was.
Well, so what should we do? When they did that to us, Chris, what should we do? Should we immediately say, oh, gee, we're sorry we offended you. Come in and burn the rest of our embassy down.
Let me pose it to you this way. How do you think we would respond if, because you know people over there view us as terrorists, right? Like, you get that, right? You're, like, they look at us the same way we look at them, correct?
Well, that's their choice.
Oh, no, well, but it's fair, because if we had someone fly a drone into our space and decide that one of our generals was bad for their country and bad for their people and take them out, we would be all up in arms and we would lose our minds. And they would be absolutely, we would be absolutely justified in that. Just like they are justified in being angered at the fact that, you know, there's a way to do things. You know, I find it hilarious that, like, that conservative side of things, or pro-war people or whatever, or they will say that there's a way to do things, that there's a way, you know, there's a proper way, you know, when it comes to, you know, earn your keep and do this and do things the right way. But then when it comes time to do war, because we are the stronger people, we get to set the rules. We get to set the boundaries. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And that's the problem here. I'm not going to look, the world's a better place today than it was the day before Soleimani was killed. I admit that. The guy deserves to be buried under whatever it is, and under any prison that exists. The guy's a nightmare, and he's a terrible human. However, we, again, just decided we carry a big stick, so we're going to do what we want, and we're going to fly into a space that we don't belong in, and we're going to drop bombs where we shouldn't. And that's a fact.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. Come join us again as a good co-host.
Always.
Appreciate that. He was just on the Steve Jones Show yesterday. Thank you, Chris.
Well, you know, when you talk about the United States wars, you know, we can name them. We can start at the beginning and name them. The Revolutionary War. Perhaps we shouldn't have fought that because the English were so benevolent in taking such good care of us.
Joe the Snowflake says, no more Revolutionary War coverage.
Yeah, that. The War of 1812. The Mexican War.
Well, those are some of the big declared wars.
The Spanish-American War. World War
I.
World War II in Korea. That's 8. Vietnam, 9.
We've been at war all the time, either helping somebody or causing
another
war.
9 wars since the beginning of the country.
Those are the named ones. The unnamed ones is another 9. We're always somewhere.
And I'm giving you Korea, and Korea was a police action. It wasn't a war.
Was Vietnam ever declared?
Not really.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us immediately. We're talking about the U.S. involvement in the world as a whole. Is it good to carry a big stick, or would it be better to be the peacemongers of the planet?
If Teddy Roosevelt were alive today, his motto would be, speak softly and don't bother anybody. Buddy.
I don't think so.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. One of our listeners says,
why didn't we take him into custody instead of killing their top leader? Because Trump wants war.
That's right.
I could just see us sending people over there walking up, excuse me, sir, you're under arrest.
Well, the president wants the distraction. He wants the war, so that always makes you look better come election time.
He's doing this just to distract from impeachment.
Right.
Yes.
I don't think impeachment. That seems to have faded on its own.
I mean, it's so important that we impeach this guy immediately, and then Nancy Pelosi doesn't send the articles of impeachment over because she wants to tell the Senate how to conduct the trial.
It's funny how all the irrational things the president did does on a regular basis, striking a known terrorist globally is hardly irrational. You know, this is right. almost like a normal thing for a president to do.
And it should be. It's how you protect us. It's better to have that than having planes flying into our towers.
Steve, you're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just want to say one thing. There's no person, there's no country that's perfect. People and countries make mistakes. But when I think of all the soldiers through all our wars that died for other countries, that we have an American cemetery in France and all over the world coming to the aid of countries, and this is such a big deal that we killed somebody for the past 20 years that wanted to do harm to us. I can't believe people are in such an uproar over this when we lost literally thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers fighting in other countries, giving their lives for other countries. And like I said, we're not perfect. No country is. But this big stink about someone like that, we shouldn't even be wasting our time even talking about it. Thank you.
That's all a good right. point.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the call. Well, we have taken out less onerous leaders elsewhere under, you know, warfare circumstances.
I mean, we have done some bad things in the past. He's got a point. Years ago, when the when the CIA was in its heyday, we would walk up and put a bullet in the head of somebody in a foreign country we didn't like Allende in Chile, I believe it was.
Assassinating people.
Right. I mean, the CIA did that kind of thing.
Why isn't the drone strike? I'm not arguing against it. This is just a question. Why isn't the drone strike an assassination?
Well, it is. I mean, if you want to, they targeted anytime you target a specific person, a political or military leader, and kill them, that's an assassination.
All right, Cindy, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
I would like to propose a less truncated list of military action the United States has been involved in. And I'll start with Vietnam. So we had the Vietnam War, then the Bay of Pigs invasion, then Grenada, U.S. invaded Grenada. I remember that in my lifetime, 1983. The U.S. invaded Panama in 1989. The Persian Gulf War, my family served in that war, as well as many others. The intervention in Bosnia and
Herzegovina.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq, the war in Kenya, which I understand, in Pakistan, Somalia, and Northwest Kenya. We had just had an American die in Kenya. Is anyone paying attention to that? What are we doing messing around with what goes on in Kenya?
We have a big military
Shield,
base there.
Which is a action on our part to intervene with the Somali pirates. The intervention in Libya, the Lord's Resistance Army. We are united with the army in Uganda to fight off the people that are fighting them. The U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. The U.S. intervention in Syria. The Yemeni civil war. The U.S. intervention in Libya. I agree with Chris. Write that down, Chris. I agree with Chris. We are butting in far too often around the world, and we are far too militaristic in our actions. And I don't want to get involved in these problems. These people, you know, as a mother, I'll tell you this. You can constantly intervene in the bickering of your children. Constantly intervene. It solves no problem. At some point, you must force your children to solve their own problems. And that's what we've fallen prey to, the oh, let's rush in and stop everything. I mean, look at this list. Africa, Middle East, Asia. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, are they labeled war? No, Joe, I'll give you that. But are our military on the ground, boots on the ground, in harm's way, killed there often? Yes. And yes, they are.
The same thing is true with policemen. You know, we try to protect our citizens, and sometimes policemen die doing that. It's happened 47 times last year that a policeman was
killed. Well, if it's a dangerous place, you know, my
it
advice
is.
To
and,
our
and
citizens
I don't think,
is to follow the same advice I use.
If
Get
we learned,
out.
If we learned anything from World War II, we should have learned that appeasement doesn't work. We tried that.
I'm not talking appeasement.
But that's
but
what we're doing.
We don't need to intervene in every place in the world, Joe. That's a false premise that the only people who can solve these problems are the United States, and therefore we should rush in there.
But what about all the
we're
times?
We're occupying almost every country, and ironically, none of them are occupying us. Isn't that interesting?
What about all the times we form coalitions with other countries to do something? The British, the French, the Germans. You know, we haven't always gone it alone, and there's been consensus many times that this that a specific situation had to be dealt with. And we join with
British
others
and
Delta.
Let the British and the French form a coalition and go fix it. Let India, let China. It doesn't have to always be us. It does not. But it will always be us so long as we jump up and get out there and say, oh, yeah, we'll squander our wealth. We'll bury our sons and daughters. Not to worry. We got this. That's what we do. We got to sit back and let these other countries step up and take responsibility as well. We're not the only republic or democracy in this world.
And yet when President Trump tells the people in the NATO they've got to pay more, pay their fair share, people say, oh, you're destabilizing the world. You're being mean to our allies.
They would pay more if they had to worry about it, but they don't have to worry about protecting themselves. And do you know why, Joe? Because your generation, some of my generation, always jumps up and says, we got this, we got this, we got this. We got this. And they impose the cost, they impose the loss on the younger generations of this nation. And that has got to stop. That has got to stop.
Well said, Cindy. Thank you so much for your words
Thanks.
Of wisdom. Very much appreciated. We're going to take a quickie break. Wiser words were never spoken on the radio in the whole history of the show.
Oh, yes, they were. There were.
Oh, brother.
I spoke them, as a matter of fact.
I'm sure you did. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking war. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. It is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. They invite you to do as I have done. Go to their website, sunburymotors.com, and check out all their pre-owned Ford F-150s and Ford Rangers. And check out all the brand new ones that they got. And again, you're just online, but you're looking at every vehicle. They got about a dozen different angles and looks inside the vehicle and all the specs. The pre-owned vehicle's got the Carfax, so they let you know what's cooking. Hyundai, same thing. Kia, brand new Kias. I'll tell you what, the Kia Telluride's got Lawrence written all over it. And you can get a link, and we're getting...
That's vandalism. You know, writing your name all over
your
somebody's
name
car.
Good point. We're going to get Joe a Lincoln Navigator, and we're going to have his name painted on it officially, not accidentally. Go ahead and drive that Lincoln, and thank Jason Benfer for that. You can talk to Mickey Anselmo over there, or Jeff Clock, or Mike DeFeo over at the Sunbury Motor Company, or go to the Kia dealership. Ernie and Austin would love to put you in one of those vehicles. But do, as I suggest, start out at sunburymotors.com, and if what they have doesn't exist, well, that's not absolutely impossible. You can build a Ford car or truck to your precise specifications at sunburymotors.com. You can make an appointment for the quick lane there. Get your car washed. You can do it every way. You can't get your car washed online, but you can make an appointment for it online.
When they come up with a way to wash your car online, count me in.
Yeah, we got something there.
So have you heard this latest move now? GOP senators are moving to dismiss the articles of impeachment amid the battle with Pelosi.
How can they do that? They do
well,
not yet have
how.
Them.
Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri joined with a host of fellow Republicans Monday to introduce a resolution allowing the chamber to dismiss articles of impeachment against President Trump for lack of prosecution as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delays sending the case for trial. The resolution specifically would update Senate rules to allow the chamber to bring a motion dismissing the articles. He said in the real world, when a prosecutor brings a case but refuses to try it, the court has the ability and the defendant has the right, the constitutional right, I might add, to have those articles, those indictments, those charges dismissed. Hawley said that in a speech on the Senate floor. That is precisely the action that I am proposing today. Hawley joined with co-sponsor Senator Rick Scott of Florida, Mike Braun of Indiana, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Ted Cruz of Texas, Steve Daines of Montana, John Brasso of Wyoming, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Dave Perdue of Georgia, and Jim Imhoff of Oklahoma. I think that's a good point.
How can you dismiss something you do not yet have,
though? Lack of prosecution. In other words, you missed the point. He said, if you don't prosecute, if you file the case, you have the articles, you don't prosecute, you can't just let a defendant hide in, or remain in limbo forever, Mark.
Joe, you missed my point. What How can you charge a lack of prosecution for something that doesn't even exist? There's nothing in the Senate now. You know what the House did, but you don't have any.
Well, that's the point.
You may have just overheard what
they
did.
You know what's supposed to happen next. The articles of impeachment are to be sent over to the Senate for a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy Pelosi hasn't done that.
Yeah,
after telling the American people that they couldn't wait to go to court on these issues because the very foundation, the very fabric of our country was in jeopardy if we didn't act to impeach this man immediately.
I know, that's your shtick, but I don't think they, this will
die
in the
courts
fast.
Not my shtick, it's the truth.
This will die in the courts fast.
No, it won't. I think the Senate's on the right track here. Either send it over, let the Senate decide, the Senate didn't tell the House how to proceed with what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
but the House wants to tell the Senate how they should proceed. And that isn't going to fly. That's not the way our government works.
So what's the time limit? According to the Constitution, what is Nancy Pelosi's time limit? How much time does she have?
Unfortunately, it doesn't speak to that specifically.
So
there is no specific time.
To hold this.
Well, the founding fathers never anticipated that somebody would impeach a president and then not deliver the articles of impeachment.
They didn't know Nancy.
No, they didn't know Nancy. I mean, she's obviously trying to control the narrative, and I don't blame her for trying to do that. But at this point, there's an old expression, and I'll paraphrase it.
Poop.
Either poop or get off the pot.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Do you think this Senate resolution will fly? I can see right through it, but Joe thinks it's another superlative Republican effort to interfere with our U.S. government.
No, they're just saying, give us the charges, give us the indictment,
right.
Or, you know, we're going to get rid of it.
Number one, do the number two, or go.
Do you think, Nancy, I'm asking, you're a reasonable guy, even though you're a little flaky sometimes.
I don't know why she's doing this. I actually haven't boned up on it too much, why she says she's doing this. I know that she keeps talking about the fact that she wants the trial to be conducted in a certain manner, which is far beyond her purview to even ask for, so... And I guess there's a lot of people upset that Mitch McConnell's not going to be objective, you know, which he said he's going to align.
How many Democrats are going to be objective?
The whole thing is political to start
with. You've just hit the nail on the head. You know, it's not a judicial proceeding. It's a political proceeding.
Right, so why not? The whole thing wasn't objective to start with, so why even worry about it now? Bill, you're on the mark. Boy, you're a speedy dialer. We just started this topic, and you're good to go. Go right ahead.
Yeah, the senator proposed that gave a 25-day window for Pelosi to produce this stuff. She has till January 11th. All right. Now, if she does not produce this, the House rendered a decision, they're going to move forward to have her removed because she's impeding stuff on her own.
Yeah, you could call that obstruction of justice, couldn't you?
Yeah, she's neglecting to follow the rules. She wants to be a shot caller, and you can't do that.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, and so let's charge Nancy Pelosi with obstruction of justice.
That's what they're going to do on January 11th. They gave her this proposed a 25-day window. You got the facts. You got the final decision. You're not moving it to the next level, so you're obstructing justice.
Oh, she's afraid of that deadline. I'm sure of that.
What? Well, she should be.
The internal rules, they have been forever.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's a matter of time before they go back in the basement and say that they were wrong for shooting this guy after he killed thousands of people from all different countries, this general.
Soleimani, yes, I agree with you. Was not a good person.
And they don't talk about all the Americans that were dismembered and wounded, and other people to boot, and their own people.
Yep.
Right. Well, and I don't think. Well, I may. Maybe I don't think people have an argument. They can say that the killing was. That you can't come up with any justification for it. I just think some people are able to see that if you escalate things, they get worse, that nothing ever ends. But if your domino is the next one to fall, then that's what happens. But this, this will keep going.
You know for a fact, Mark, that there is a limit between how much time a defendant has a right to a speedy trial, and if you don't bring them to trial within a certain period of time, they're entitled...
Yeah, 180 days, 180 not 25 days.
Right. But, I mean, here... Nancy Pelosi said the entire fabric of the country was in jeopardy if we didn't do this immediately.
Right, you keep saying that, Joe. You got to come up with a new shtick.
And her feelings are hurt that she's not being notified in advance of all these operations.
Oh, okay. I think he's briefing them today.
Yes.
Or tomorrow.
Today.
Well,
I think.
No. She's mad that she didn't know beforehand
in advance
that they were taking them out.
And they probably would have leaked it. I don't know. If the U.S. has any military action, I would not tell the Congress ahead of time. Unless it's a big war situation,
they
then they
like
have
a
to.
Sieve over there.
Right. Well, all of them, Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah,
it's
amen.
Not just Democrats.
No, I agree with you there.
All right. Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for checking in.
Appreciate that.
One of our listeners agrees with Joe.
No. They said, if you're charged with breaking the law, the prosecution has up to 1 year in Pennsylvania to charge you.
Oh, I guess
you.
Not the 25
Well, if you're arrested
situation.
And charged, you know, you go for a preliminary hearing and you are bound over for court, they have what? How many
180 days?
180 days to bring you to trial.
Yeah, but this is different because this is just a politically motivated impeachment. It's not a criminal case.
Right. That's true. That's very, very true.
See, I've said two statements in 2 minutes.
We're going to have to cancel this program if I start agreeing with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe and I are in full agreement that we need to drain the swamp completely in Washington and start over. We need the Convention of States. Joe wisely favors that.
No, I don't favor that.
You do, too.
I do not.
You do now.
Do not.
All right, we're back to arguing. Welcome back, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Oh, my gosh, speedy dialers only. What happened to the hour? It's 57 minutes after the hour.
It is. So let's explore this for 1 minute here. Nancy Pelosi has not brought those charges over. The Republicans are now threatening to discharge those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a vote in the Senate to discharge them because she hasn't brought them over.
It's a frivolous resolution, but anyway.
Don't you think that having impeached him, he is an impeached president, that they should... go on with the trial. If the Republicans...
Well, you have to do it at some point.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, as you correctly pointed out, it's a political process. And so the votes are going to be along political lines. To say that, the Republicans are horrible, they're going to vote to keep the president in office. Well, why aren't the Democrats horrible? Because they're going to vote to throw him out. You know, do you know any senator who's come out and said, I'm completely nonpartisan on this issue?
I'm going to listen
objectively. I have no idea. Right. You know, they take a note.
Bob Casey said he'd be objective.
No, he said he would support him.
Yeah, that's right. But he is going to vote to convict.
So let's face it. It is a political process. I think it wouldn't be a political process if the president had done something legitimately detrimental to the Constitution of the United States or detrimental to his oath of office.
Well, he did do something legitimately wrong. There's no argument there.
But his intent, you know, let's go back to intent
again. His intent was terrible.
Well, so was Bill Clinton's when he lied about having sex with Monica Lewinsky.
What about Bill Clinton? That's all you got?
No, that's not it. You're missing. You're not letting me make my point. He deliberately lied about something. And yes, what was the net effect? Was the country harmed? Was the fabric of our nation torn apart? No. Richard Nixon? Yes. There was a crime. There was a cover-up. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing was a direct threat to our way of life and and allowing him to get away with that would have been a terrible mistake.
Been wrong.
But the President of the United States, so maybe he was wrong to say, hey, by the way, I'd like a favor. Mm-hmm. But he got nothing. You know, maybe he intended to get something, but he didn't.
Well, that's because he got caught. That's no argument.
No, he didn't get caught in the first place. I mean, he could have shoveled that under
the
rug.
The whistleblower came forward within 48 hours.
It wasn't within 48 hours. It was couple of weeks later.
No, it was immediate. The ball started rolling immediately.
I don't think that's true.
I think it did. Well, it doesn't matter. What happens if it takes us 9 years to call the cops about a burglary? It's still there.
Well, the statute of limitations runs out. That's what happens.
Only after an arrest. Well, that's true. Yeah, the burglary itself... That's true.
Right. The crime has a statute of limitations.
Well, we're a long way from 10 years. So. But yeah, she should... What shall we say?
We're gone.
We should do number two or leave the restroom.
That's right.
See you tomorrow, everybody. This is WKOK Sunbury.